الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد لعثر همتين رحمه الله تعالى باب الغلو في القرآن باب الغلو في القرآن The chapter on going to extremes with the Quran الغلو يعني مجاوزة الحد مجاوزة الحد المشروع مجاوزة الحد المشروع meaning to go beyond the legislative limits to go to extremes with the Quran the author he mentioned رحمه الله تعالى فيه حديث الخوارج المتقدم and in this regard is the narration of the Khawarij that has preceded and in this regard is the narration of the Khawarij which has preceded we have seen that from going to extremes with the Quran is to misinterpret the meanings and to distort the intended aim of the revelation and to apply the verses that are directed to the disbelievers, to those who believe, and to declare them disbelievers in that manner. This is from going to extremes with the Quran. And we have discussed a number of these issues that which the author is referring to here about the Khawarij and how they went to extremes with the Book of Allah Azza wa Jal and they had deviated in a great manner. They had deviated in a great manner, although they outwardly had a great concern for the Book of Allah. We have seen a number of benefits in the previous chapters with regards to this, until the extent that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam referred to them saying to his companions, تَحْكِرُونَ قِرَاءَتَكُمْ مَعَ قِرَاءَتِهِمْ that you will belittle and consider insignificant your recitation of the Qur'an to theirs. Your recitation of the Qur'an to theirs. And he mentioned about them likewise, وَلَا يَقْرَأُونَ الْقُرْآنَ وَلَا يُجَاوِزُ حَنَاجِرَهُمْ that they recite the Qur'an and does not go beyond their throats, meaning it does not sink into their hearts until they humble themselves and surrender, nor does it go into their minds till they comprehend and understand and benefit. Rather, what they did is they went to ذَهَبِ إِلَىٰ آيَاتٍ نَزَلَتْ فِي الْكُفَارِ فَجَعَلَهُمْ فِي الْمُسْلِمِينَ فَجَعَلَهُمْ فِي الْمُؤْمِنِينَ They went to the verses that were revealed about the disbelievers and they applied them to the believers and declared their brothers disbelievers in this manner. And this is in reality غُلُوٌ عَظِيمٌ وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ Great, great transgression and extremism and violation with regards to the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, a number of these affairs, they have proceeded in the previous chapters. So now the author, he moves on to other aspects with regards to this topic. وَفِي الصَّحِيحِ عَنْ عَبْدَ اللَّهِ بْنِ عَمَرٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا أَنُّهُمْ قَالٍ And it has been reported in the authentic collections. The authentic collections here referring to Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Referring to Al-Bukhari and Muslim. From Abdullah ibn Amr. رضي الله عنهما أنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ألم أخبر أنك تصوم الدهر وتقرأ القرآن كل ليلة ألم أخبر أنك تصوم الدهر وتقرأ القرآن كل ليلة The messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم he said to him يعني he said to Abdullah ibn Amr رضي الله عنهما Was I not informed that you fast every day and you complete the Qur'an every night? Was I not informed that you fast every day and that you complete the recitation of the Qur'an every night? يعني ختمة كاملة reciting from the beginning to the end every night. He says, قلت بلى يا رسول الله ولم أريد بذلك إلا خيرا. He said, بلى يا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ولم أريد بذلك إلا الخير إلا الخير. He said, yes. I said, yes, O Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but I did not intend anything except for good. I did not intend anything any by that, by fasting daily every day and reciting the Qur'an in entirety every night. Every night, in some wordings likewise, he mentioned about himself, radiyallahu anhu, that he said, لَأَقُمَنَّ اللَّيْلَ وَلَأَصُمَنَّ النَّهَارَ مَا عِشْتُ He said, I'm going to stand the entire night and fast every single day so long as I'm alive. So long as I'm alive. And about this issue here, we see this is the statement and the narration of Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, radiyallahu anhuma. He is also from العبادلة الأربعة العبادلة الأربعة من صغار الصحابة من صغار الصحابة. He's from those four individuals who have the name Abdullah, who have the name Abdullah from the youth or the younger generation of the Sahaba, from the younger generation of the Sahaba. Al-Abadila al-Arba'a. Who remembers them? I'll give you one of them, Abdullah ibn Amr. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud min Sigar or Kibar? Abdullah ibn Mas'ud min Kibar al-Sahaba. Min al-Sabiqin al-Awwal. From the first and foremost to accept Islam, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. So he's not from the Sigar. He's not from the younger generation of the Sahaba. Radiallahu anhum. Rather, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud is from the elders. So he wouldn't be considered from the Abadila here. Abdullah ibn Abbas. Abdullah ibn Umar. Abdullah ibn Zubayr. And Sahibuna Abdullah ibn Amr. These are the four Abadila. They're all youth, around the age of puberty, at the time of the death of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some of them over puberty. Abdullah ibn Umar, he was a bit older. At the time of the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, closer to 17, 18, in this area right here. Abdullah ibn Abbas, he was just at the age of puberty. Abdullah ibn Zubayr, likewise, he was around the same age as Abdullah ibn Abbas. And Abdullah ibn Amr here. Yani all of them, they were young boys or young men. Either at the age of puberty, or just before the age of puberty, or just after the age of puberty by a few years. So this is letting us know that, you know, he's making these statements whenever he is a young man. He's making these statements whenever he is a young man, and he has strength, and he has energy, and he has great desire and drive to strive in the path of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and to strive in worship and obedience to Allah Subhanahu wa Taala. But many times, what people lack at this age is experience and looking to the longer affair. What will happen in the outcome based upon one's statements or one's actions? So this is what he mentioned, radiallahu anhu, and this is what he was upon. Likewise, he established that قُمَنَ اللَّيْسَ. I'm going to stand all night, until the extent he used to recite the entire Quran in one night. And one night, I'm going to fast every day, until the extent that he fasted every day. At this time, Allah knows best, he was able to do that. Either he had the energy to do that, or he was able to carry himself to do that. He was able to carry himself to do that for some period. Not to mention that the Prophet ﷺ heard about him and advised him whenever he was young as well. And he gave him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, beautiful admonishment about the night prayer. He said, Ya Abdullah, لا تكون مثل فلان. لا تكون مثل فلان. كان يقوم من الليل, كان يقوم من الليل, فترك قيام الليل. Oh Abdullah, do not be like so-and-so. He used to stand in the night prayer, and then he left the night prayer. Oh Abdullah, do not be like so-and-so. Don't be like so-and-so, who used to stand in the night prayer, and then he left the night prayer. So this was from the advice of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for him to stand in the night prayer. But likewise, the methodology of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the night prayer is moderation. And it's not mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ever stood in prayer the entire night. The entire night. Rather, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said about himself, أَقُومُ اللَّيْلِ وَالْأَنَامِ أُصَلِي بِاللَّيْلِ وَالْأَنَامِ. And I stand in the night prayer and I sleep. And in one night. I stand in the night prayer and I sleep. And he also mentioned sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَأَصُومُ وَأُفْتِرِ. And I fast and I break my fast. And some days I fast a non-obligatory fast, and other days I break my fast and do not fast. So the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, no doubt, is striving in the path of Allah, but upon moderation. In a manner that a person will be able to continue. So this is the point from this narration, that a person, he can carry himself likewise to strive in the worship of Allah and the obedience of Allah and the recitation of the Quran and the application of the Quran, likewise in a manner that's going to extremes and beyond moderation, and not according to the law and legislation and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this narration of Anas, whenever those individuals, they came to the home of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and asked about his deeds, one of them, he said, I'm going to stand in the night prayer and never sleep. سَأَقُمُ اللَّيْلُ وَلَا أَنَامُ. The other he said, سَأَصُومُ النَّهَارَ وَلَا أُفْطِرُ. The other said, he said, I'm going to fast every day and not break my fast. Another one he said, وَلَا أَتَزَوَّجَ النِّسَى. Another one he said, وَلَا أَقُوَ اللَّحْمُ. One said, I will not marry women. And I'll devote myself entirely to Allah. And another he said, I will not eat meat. Yani in devotion to Allah. These individuals from the companions, some of them, they said these affairs. And whenever the Prophet ﷺ heard the likes of this, he was not happy. He was not happy, rather he reprimanded them. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said the narration that I was referring to previously. He said, إِنِّي أَقُومُ مِنَ اللَّيْلِ أَقُومُ اللَّيْلِ وَأَنَامُ وَأَصُومُ أُفْطِرُ وَأَتَزَوَّجُ النِّسَاءِ فَمَنْ رَغِبَ عَنْ سُنَّتِي فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي. That I stand in the nighttime in prayer and I sleep in the same night. And I fast some days and I break my fast. And I marry women. And whoever dislikes my way, my sunnah, then he's not from me. And as a great reprimand. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he freed himself from the likes of these affairs. So the point is that the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was moderation. Moderation in a manner that a person will be able to continue. So people, they differ in this affair. Moderation for one may be a bit stronger than another, according to their diligence, according to their desire, according to their ragba, according to their health, according to their age, according to their experience, so on and so forth. But the issue is that a person, with regards to the worship of Allah, he will choose the amount, and in the non-obligatory worship, he will choose the amount that he's able to continue and be consistent with. So this is the topic that we're discussing. Aisha radiallahu anha, she said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِنَّ أَحَبَّ الْعَمَالِ إِلَى اللَّهِ أَدْوَمُهَا وَإِنْ قَالْ. And some word is, مَا دَوَمَ عَلَيْهِ صَاحِبُهُ وَإِنْ قَالْ. That the most beloved deeds to Allah, meaning from the non-obligatory actions of worship and devotion, the most beloved of them to Allah are the ones that are done consecutively, consistently, even if they're few. The one that the person he does all the time, even if they're little. So this is the topic here, to not go to extremes. With this narration, with regards to worship and the recitation of the Qur'an, and likewise the application of that. The application of that. So a person, he may go to extremes in this manner. This narration has been narrated with a number of wordings. The narration of Abdullah ibn Amr, radiallahu anhuma. And from that, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had told him that maybe you're going to live long. And maybe he said, لا تدري لعلك يطول بك العمر. You don't know. Maybe you're going to have a long life. Meaning right now you're young and you're strong and you're freed up in free time. But maybe you're going to become old and you're not going to be able to continue upon that way. So there's wisdom in coming with age and experience that sometimes the youth, they do not have. So we benefit this. We take this benefit here. And the youth, they should realize that their elders, many times they're speaking from experience. And experience is something that is very, very beneficial, especially on the straight path. And Sahih Bukhari, Abdullah ibn Amr radiallahu anhu, he says, أَنْكَحَنِي أَبِي أَمْرَأَةً ذَاتَ حَسَبٍ. That my father married me to a woman that had a high status in society. وَكَانَ يَتَعَاهَدُهَا. And he used to check up on her. فَسَأَلَهَا عَنْ بَعْلِهَا. So he asked her about her husband. فَقَالَتْ نِعْمَ الرَّجُلُ مِنْ رَجُلٍ لَمْ يَطَعَ لَنَا فِرَاشٍ وَلَمْ يُفَتِّشْ لَنَا كَنَفٍ مُنْذُ أَتَيْنَاهُ. She said, he's a good man, and referring to him in general, he's a good man, and other than the fact that he never slept in the bed with us, nor even looked after us, or showed care or concern for us ever since we came. And he didn't give any attention to his wife, which is deserved and all right, that she has upon him, not in the bed, or not other than that likewise. So he says, فَلَمَّا طَالَ ذَلِكَ عَلَيْهِ ذَكَرَ لِلنَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ فَقَالَ لَهُ إِلْقَنِي بِهِ فَلَقِيتُهُ بَعَدُ. So he said, رضي الله عنه, whenever this happened, and whenever this continued for some time, meaning that his wife is complaining about him neglecting her rights and neglecting her company, so on and so forth, and his devotion to worship in this manner that he's upon, then his father, who was Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu, he went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, informed him. So this is the interpretation here of the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, alam ukhbar. Alam ukhbar, was I not informed? Annaka tasum an-nahar wa taqra al-Qur'an kull layla. Was I not informed? Have I not been informed that you fast all day every day and you complete the recitation of the Quran every night? He said, Bala ya Rasulullah. So the one who informed him is his own father. The one who has informed him is his own father, looking out for the best interest of his child and likewise of his wife and the rights that are upon him with regards to her. So his excuse was, Bala ya Rasulullah, wa lam urid bi dhalika illa al-khayr. He said, yes, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but I did not intend by way of that anything except for good. So this reminds me of the statement of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, كَمْ مُرِيدٍ الْخَيْرِ لَمْ يُسِبْهُ. How many people intend to do good, but they do not obtain it. So likewise, those individuals who came to the household of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, I'm going to pray all night, I'm going to fast all day, I'm never going to eat meat, I'm not going to get married, I'm going to devote myself entirely to Allah. That's the meaning. That's their intention, all of them. And in general, it starts out as a good intention. But كَمْ مُرِيدٍ الْخَيْرِ لَمْ يُسِبْهُ. How many people intend good, but they do not obtain it? And the reason for this is having a lack of knowledge. So they were unaware of this reality. They are unaware of the obligation of moderation and holding fast to the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in these actions of worship and not going beyond that. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's the ultimate role model in all affairs of life, especially in worship. In how much. So when he will not go beyond that. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told him in the narration, قَالَ فَسُمْ صَوْمَ دَاوُودِ فَإِنَّهُ كَانَ أَعْبَدَ النَّاسِ وَقْرَأَ الْقُرْآنَ كُلِّ الشَّهْرِ. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, fast the fast of Dawood, for indeed he was the most devout in worship, and also complete the Quran every month. Fast the fast of Dawood, because he was the most devout in worship, and complete the Quran every month, and once in a month. In some wordings of this narration, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, فَإِنَّكَ لَا تَسْتَلْفِئُ ذَلِكَ فَسُمْ وَأَفْطِرْ وَنَمْ وَقُمْ. He said, you're not able to do that. You're not able to fast every day and stand in the night prayer every night, all night, and recite the Quran and complete it every single night. You're not able to do that. And in reality, you're only doing that, carrying yourself to do that, forcing yourself to do that, or you're not able to do that, meaning you're not able to continue upon that way. This is going to cause you to either leave the worship entirely, or you will not be able to maintain that in any case. So he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whether you should fast and break your fast. And he fasts sometimes and break your fast other times. Fast some days and break your fast other days. And sleep a portion of the night and stand a portion of the night. And another wording he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, فَلَا تَفْعَلْ. Don't do that. So here's a prohibition. First he said, you're not able to. And another, do not do that. لَا تَفْعَلْ. He said, فَإِنَّ لِعَيْنِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَظًّا وَلِنَفْسِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَظًّا وَلِأَهْلِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَظًّا وَلِأَهْلِكَ حَظًّا. He said, indeed, your eye, it has a right upon you. And likewise, your soul, it has a right upon you. And your family, they have a right upon you. Your family meaning your household. In some wordings, likewise, وَلِزَوْجِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقًّا. It says حَظًّا, as he mentioned حَظًّا, and other wordings حَقًّا. The meaning is the same. وَلِزَوْجِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقًّا. وَإِنَّ لِزَوْجِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقًّا. That indeed your wife has a right upon you. Indeed your family, your children, those under your care, they have a right upon you. And also, وَإِنَّ لِزَوْجِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقًّا. Indeed, likewise, your guest has a right upon you. So a person, he has to be moderate in these affairs and observe the rights of others and fulfill all of these rights properly. So it's not allowed to neglect the rights of the people, claiming that a person, he will devote himself to the worship of Allah. This is not correct. This is misguidance. So in the wording of Anas that had preceded the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Man raghiba an sunnati falaysa minni. Man raghiba an sunnati falaysa minni. Whoever turns away from my way, he's not from me. So it's a dangerous affair. The shaytan, he will try to mislead us in many manners. And in general, it's by either going to extremes and transgressing the limits or being negligent. or being negligent. So this happens many different ways. So in reality, all of those ways that take a person out of the straight path, all of those means that take a person away from the straight path, they go back to these two affairs. Either going to extremes or being negligent. Al-ifrat or al-tafriyat. He's either going to extreme in one manner, in one aspect or one way, or he's going to be negligent. Ibn Qayyim, he mentioned, rahimahullah, that the shaytan, he doesn't care which way a person goes. If he goes to extremes or if he's negligent, it doesn't matter to him, as long as he can lead a person astray. So if a person seems to be having interest and effort, and he's got energy, he has energy and he's looking forward to worship with Allah and studying and learning and the likes like this, then the shaytan will try to lure him astray. And if a person is negligent and lackadaisical and he doesn't have a lot of energy or care or concern for the affairs of the religion, then the shaytan will try to lead him astray by ways of negligence. So a person has to learn the straight path with regards to this and hold fast to that. So a person, maybe, for example, with regards to the Qur'an, here, maybe he recites the Qur'an all night long and at the same time neglecting the right of his wife. So he thinks he's drawing near to Allah Azza wa Jalla, although he's going to be taken to account for neglecting that right. So this is not allowed. It's not allowed to worship Allah in a manner that causes one to neglect the rights of others. Even this issue here is talking about the man neglecting the right of his wife. In the bed specifically it's mentioned. And with regards to this affair, and also comfort and company and companionship and friendship and the likes like this. All of this is required from the spouses to get along in this manner and to cooperate with each other in this way. But my point to say now is even more severe with the woman. Because if the woman had done that and turned away from the bed of the man, and claiming that she's going to recite the Qur'an or memorize the Qur'an or stand in the night prayer, fast in the daytime and the likes like this, then it's possible that she could be standing in the night prayer while the angels are cursing her. And this is misguidance. This is a great deviation. Because if a man, he calls his woman to the bed and she refuses and he spends the night angry, the angels, they curse her until the morning time or until he is not angry with her anymore. So this is a well-known narration, authentic narration from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So maybe she thinks she's going to stand and worship or memorize or read the Qur'an. In reality, she's not drawing near to Allah in this manner by neglecting that great right of her husband. That great right of her husband in this manner like this is in reality exposing herself to the anger of Allah and not His pleasure, all at the same time. So it goes back to having knowledge and then likewise preferring that knowledge and checking one's desires and doing that which is pleasing to Allah. So maybe a woman, she wants to recite the Qur'an, but that's not what is pleasing to Allah at that moment. And there's priorities here. A person has to prioritize, and the man likewise. Maybe the man, he wants to do something as well, or worship Allah as well, or recite the Qur'an as well, or seek knowledge as well, but his wife has rights upon him. His children have rights upon him. It's not allowed for him to neglect their rights in this manner to where they are in hardship or they are having problems or issues with the claims that a person is going to seek knowledge or claims that a person is going to study the Qur'an or pray or worship in the night prayer or fast in the daytime, so on and so forth. So the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is moderation. In our previous classes, the chapter was about the one who does not suffice with the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is an aspect of that. The one who does not suffice with the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he will go astray by going to extremes. So the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is to recite the Quran in the manner that's going to come. And in this narration here, the author mentioned one time a month to complete it. And we'll see that he's going to ask him to do more. Abdullah ibn Amr, whenever he heard the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Inni altiqu akhtar min dhalika, aw afdal min dhalika." And he said, "But indeed, I'm able to do more than that. I'm able to do better than that." In this narration here, it's mentioning for him to fast the fast of Dawood. But in other narrations, it clarified that at first the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Sum min ash-shahr thalathata ayyam, fa inna al-hasana bi ashri amthaliha." وَذَٰلِكَ مِثْرُ سِيَمَ الدَّهْرِ The Prophet ﷺ told him, you should fast only 3 days a month. And a good deed is the like of 10 thereof. So this is as if you have the reward for fasting the whole year. You have the reward for fasting the whole year, every single day. All the while, you're only truly fasting 3 days. So this is what the Prophet ﷺ advised him with at first. And then he said, وَإِنِّي أُطِيقُ أَكْثَرَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ وَأَفْضَلَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. So I can do better than that. I can do more than that. So the Prophet ﷺ worked with him. He said, okay, 4 days. Okay, 5 days. Okay, fast 2 days and break your fast. Like this. And finally, until he came to the fast of Dawood, which is half of the month. 15 days a month. 15 days a month. And this is what he took with, radiallahu anhu. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, ذَلِكَ سَوْمْ دَاوُودُ وَهُوَ أَعْدَلُ صِيَامٍ. This is the fast of Dawood, and it's the most just and balanced fast, meaning half of the month. Half of the month, meaning half of the year, he's fasting. Half of the year, he's fasting. And then he said, radiallahu anhu, فَإِنِّي أُطِيقُ أَكْثَرَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. But I can, أَفْضَلَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. He said, indeed, I can do better than that. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, لَا أَفْضَلَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. There's no better than that. There's no better than that. This is the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the mercy and the care of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam likewise. As we've seen, he's encouraging him to establish the night prayer. He's encouraging him to recite the Qur'an. He's encouraging him to fast, but not to go beyond the limits and to extremes with this affair, because in reality, it's not good. A person, he will not be able to continue. And many people who take their self in this manner, they wind up going completely astray from the straight path in the end. Maybe they'll carry on 1 week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks or 1 month or 2 months, and after that they fall off entirely. And some of them, they become so bored and tired of the worship, they fall into sin. They fall into sin little by little. Little by little. And because their soul is not able to bear and to continue in this manner. Is not able to bear this amount of worship and devotion and continue in this manner on a daily basis. So a person, he would take the amount that he's able to bear and he's able to handle and he's able to continue and is able to continue and be consecutive with. And all this year, this discussion now about moderation and worship, this is with regards to the non-obligatory actions. As for the obligatory actions, they must be established as they are ordained and legislated. As they are ordained and legislated. One, he must perform the 5 daily prayers in the manner legislated 5 times a day. He must fast the month of Ramadan, whenever the month comes, and in the manner that's legislated. As for the discussion here of being moderate in worship and not going to extremes, then this is with regards to the non-obligatory actions of worship. The non-obligatory actions of worship. In some wordings of this narration, likewise, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed Abdullah ibn Amr, and he said, وَلِكُلِّ عَامِرٍ شِرَّةٍ وَلِكُلِّ شِرَّةٍ فَتْرَةٍ فَمَنْ كَانَتْ فَتْرَتُهُ إِلَى سُنَّتِي فَقَدْ اِهْتَدَى فَقَدْ اِهْتَدَى وَمَنْ كَانَتْ فَتْرَتُهُ إِلَى غَيْرِ ذَلِكَ فَقَدْ هَلَكَ. He said that every person, every worshipper, he has a time, a shirrah. Shirrah يعني قوة والقوة والنشاط والرغبة في العمل. Every person, he has a time in his life whenever he's strong and he has energy, he's energetic, and he has great desire to worship. And this is the reality of the soul. Sometimes it's light, sometimes it's ready to worship, sometimes it's striving, other times a person becomes lazy. Other times a person becomes tired. Other times he becomes bored. His soul becomes heavy for him. His soul becomes heavy for him. So this is the case. لِكُلِّ عَامَلٍ شِرَّةٍ وَفَتْرَةٍ. The shirra is the time of energy and a time of strong desire to work and to worship Allah. And the fatra is a time of ضعف and wahan and weakness. Whenever a person, he becomes a little bit weaker, and his soul starts to tire out in this path. So this is the reality of the soul. Sometimes it's strong and encouraged, and other times it becomes weak and heavy. It becomes weak and heavy. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "فَمَنْ كَانَتْ فَتْرَتُهُ إِلَى سُنَّتِي فَقَدْ اهْتَدَى." So whoever in his time of weakness, in his time of laziness or tiredness, whenever he's wore out and his soul is heavy, whoever at this time he is upon my sunnah, then he is upon right guidance. But whoever, whenever that weakness comes, is away from my sunnah, then he has been destroyed and failed. Meaning that, again, this is from the avenues of shaitan to encourage a person, whenever he is having energy, to work so hard that whenever he's tired, he falls off entirely. So a person, he'll work hard whenever he has energy, whenever he has raghbah, whenever he has desire, whenever his soul is feeling light, but not in such a manner that he'll wear his stuff out entirely until he falls off of the straight path, or he's not able to continue whatsoever. Rather, whenever he'll take advantage of that time when his soul is light, and he will work, but he will do it in a manner that he will be able to continue. And then whenever he becomes weak, then he doesn't fall off. He's still able to continue. He'll take it whenever he's weak, whenever his soul is feeling light, he'll still be able to continue. For example, with the witr prayer, a person who starts out with three rak'ah, and he established this in his life until every single night before the fajr comes, either before he sleeps or after he sleeps, he prays the witr prayer, three rak'ah. He established that in his life. He established that in his life daily. And then after some time, if he gets up early, maybe he'll add two to it, make it five. Or more. Or even before going to bed, maybe he'll add two to it and make it five. Or he had two more to it. And the likes like this, if he likes. But generally all throughout the year, he never leaves three. He never falls under three. So whenever he's got energy and he's awake and he's alive, he can add to that three as he likes, alhamdulillah. But whenever he's tired, whenever he's weak, he doesn't leave the three. He's already established that. And it's easy for him. He's able to carry on. So here the great point is, the people of knowledge, they mention, قَلِيلٌ دَائِن خَيْرٌ مِنْ كَثِيرٍ مُقَطَعٍ. That to do a little bit consecutively is better than doing a lot and it's cut off. And the wisdom behind that is because, for example, this person here, the one who has established the witr prayer in this manner, regardless of whenever he dies, he's going to die upon the devotion and worship to Allah. He's going to die upon performing the night prayer, even if it's only 30 rak'ah. Even if it's only 30 rak'ah. But the one who does 11 rak'ah every night, for example, for this many nights, and then he gets tired and he falls off. He can't even get up anymore in the end of the night, or he's just too tired after Isha, he doesn't want to do it, and he tricks himself. I'm going to get up before Fajr, and then he winds up not even getting up before Fajr. He's waking up at the very last moment, and he's rushing, and the lights like this, scrambling, and in the end, he winds up leaving the night prayer, either directly or slowly, from the aspect of laziness, and not being able to bear the burden. Then when death comes to him, he's not upon the night prayer. He's not upon the night prayer. So maybe a person, he will live a long life. And if he suffices with that three, that little amount in the beginning, and he's consecutive with that, then he has a lifetime of performing the witr prayer, which is great skills, great deeds in his skill that are heavy with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if he did not suffice with this manner and take the worship in moderation, then maybe he will do a big amount of worship a little bit or a few times and then fall off. And then his scales would be light because of that. لِمَنْ شَاءَ مِنْكُمْ. What is the verses in Surah Al-Mudathir? يَتَقَدَّمَ أَوْ يَتَأَخَّرُ. How's the verse start? لِمَنْ شَاءَ مِنْكُمْ يَتَقَدَّمَ أَوْ يَتَأَخَّرُ. لِمَنْ شَاءَ مِنْكُمْ يَتَقَدَّمَ أَوْ يَتَأَخَّرُ. Because the person, he's going to move forward, he's going to fall back. He's going to move forward, yani in the ranks, in Jannah, and the doing the good deeds, and having weight in the scale, he's going to fall back. He's going to fall back. Because even if a person, he avoided the haram, then he can't help except have deficiencies. We can't help except have shortcomings in the rights of Allah Azza wa Jal. كُلُّكُمْ يعني كُلُّ بَنِي هَادٍ خَطَاءٍ. Everyone is a sinner. So that means we have to try to balance out the scale by doing more good deeds. As for if we were to just suffice like this, then very possibly we're going to come to the day of resurrection and our good deeds might be depleted because of our bad manners and because of our deficiency and our faith and the weakness that we have in our obligatory prayer. For example, if we don't have any non-obligatory prayers to help to rectify that or to fix any of the shortcomings. So a person, he has to work. He has to work. Even if it's a few, in this manner, he's doing good. In this manner, he's doing good. From the ways of the devil is to try to lead a person astray in these many different avenues, and from it this way here, and from it this way here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned in His book, فَاسْتَقِيمْ كَمَا أُمِرْتَ وَمَنْ تَابَ مَعَكَ وَلَا تَطْغَوْا. So be upright and steadfast upon the straight path, as you have been commanded, O Prophet. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and those who repent along with you, and do not transgress. So a person, he can strive to be on the straight path, and if he's not careful because of ignorance and lack of detailed knowledge, that striving will lead him away from the straight path. وَمَا أَرَادَ إِلَّا خَيْرًا. وَمَا أَرَادَ إِلَّا خَيْرًا. He did not want anything except for good. He did not want to go astray. He did not want to deviate. He didn't want to fall off. He did not want to become weak. He's strong. سَأُقُمَّنَّ اللَّيْلِ وَأُسُمَّنَّ النَّهَرْ مَا عِشْتُ. I will stand the night and every night. I will fast every day, so long as I'm alive. Maybe somebody, sometime, a young man or woman may say that to themselves. And at that moment, they may think that that's a reality. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, لا تستطيع ذلك. You're not able to do that. لعله يطول بك العمر. Maybe you're going to get old. And that's what happened to Abdullah ibn Umar. He had a long life. He had a long life until he got old. And then he said, I wish that I had accepted the advice of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I wish that I had accepted the advice of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because he took that upon him. And the one thing about the companions radiallahu anhum, if they were upon any actions of worship, yani from the non-obligatory actions in the life of the Prophet, they did not want to leave it after his death. They were afraid to leave something that they were upon, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam died while they were upon it, he was pleased with them. So they didn't want to fall off. They didn't want to fall. They didn't want to deviate. They didn't want to fall away. They didn't want to become weak. They didn't want to leave anything that they were doing then, even if it was not obligatory. So he took it upon himself to hold fast that way. It's mentioned even that he was not able to continue in that manner, so he would fast 15 days in a row. He would carry himself in whenever he's older to fast 15 days in a row. That way he could break his fast for 15 days, because fasting every other day became very difficult for him. Because fasting every other day became difficult for him in his older age. So he would gather several days in a row and he would fast them back to back. But in the end, every month he would fast half the month. But he would have to gather the days together so he could break the fast, yani on a longer period, to find energy and strength in his old age, radiallahu anhu. So the point is, to take a lesson from this, not to go to extremes in the worship of Allah Azza wa Jal. Not to go to extremes in the worship of Allah Azza wa Jal. So now he says in the narration, the author mentioned, قُلْتُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ إِنِّي أُطِيقُ أَفْضَلَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ قَالَ فَقْرَأُ فِي كُلِّ عَشْرٍ. And the point of evidence for the author is with regards to the Qur'an. With regards to the Qur'an. In the narration, there's the mention of the fast and the recitation of the Qur'an and the standing of the night prayer. So he said, here, O Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I can do better than that. And with regards to reciting the Qur'an, he said, فَقْرَأُ فِي كُلِّ عَشْرٍ. Then you should recite it in every 10 nights. And you should complete the recitation in every 10 nights. قُلْتُ يَا نَبِيَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ إِنِّي أُطِيقُ أَفْضَلَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. He said, O Prophet of Allah, but I can do better than that. I'm able to do better than that. قَالَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فَقْرَأُهُ فِي كُلِّ سَبْعٍ وَلَا تَزِيدْ عَلَى ذَلِكَ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to him, then you should recite it. You should recite it in every 7 days. And he complete the recitation in every 7 days, and do not increase over that. And do not increase over that. Increase over that. And again, in some of these wordings, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told him, إِنَّكَ لَا تَدْرِي لَعَلَكَ يَطُولُ بِكَ الْعُمُرُ. You do not know. You do not know. Maybe you're going to be old. Maybe you're going to become old. He said, فَسِرْتُ إِلَّا الَّذِي قَالَ لِي النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فَلَمَّا كَبِرْتُ وَدِدْتُ أَنِّي كُنْتُ قَابِلْتُ رُخْصَةَ نَبِيِّ اللَّهِ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, what happened in reality occurred to me, and that which the Prophet, he mentioned, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever I became old, I wish I had accepted the license and the ease and the ruling from the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In other wordings, likewise, as has preceded, فَإِنَّ لِزَوْجِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقًا وَلِزَوْجِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقًا وَلِجَسَدِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقًا. That indeed your wife has a right upon you, and your guest has a right upon you, and your body has a right upon you. Has a right upon you. So this issue here about completing the Qur'an, in this narration here, it's mentioned seven, no less than seven. وَلَا تَزِيدْ عَلَى ذَلِكَ. But it has come from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, connected by Sa'id ibn Mansur in his Sunan, rahimahullah ta'ala, that Abdullah ibn Mas'ud narrated, radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, اقرأ القرآن في سبع ولا تقرأوه في أقل من ثلاث. That you should recite the Qur'an, complete its recitation. And you should complete the recitation of the Qur'an in 7 days. And do not read it in less than 3 days. And do not read it in less than 3 days. So the least number to recite, and Allah knows best, is in 3 days. And if we see that some of the salaf, they recited in less than that, Allah knows best, then we will suffice with that which has come from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was not from his manners himself, it was not from his manners and guidance, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to recite it in less than 3 days, and to complete the recitation in less than 3 days, nor was it from his teachings. Nor was it from his teachings, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He did not do that himself, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Allah knows best, this was not narrated to us from him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, nor did he advise to recite the Qur'an in entirety in less than 3 days. In less than 3 days. So the limit, Allah knows best, would be in 3 days. The limit would be in 3 days. So the point from the narration is clear, that a person has to have moderation with the Qur'an, and he can go to extremes in this manner, and he can carry himself to do actions of worship that that are considered going to extremes and beyond the limits. And the means for a person to determine that is that which he's able to continue. He will learn and perform the amount of the non-obligatory fast, the non-obligatory prayer, and the recitation of the Qur'an, the memorization of the Qur'an, so on and so forth, in a manner that he's able to continue. In a manner that he's able to continue with consistency. After this, the author, he mentioned, rahimahullahu ta'ala, wa li muslimin an ibn mas'udin radiyallahu anhu anna rasulullahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal halaka al-mutanati'un. In the actual narration, he says, qalaha thalatha. قَالَهَا فَلَاثَا. The author, he mentioned the narration collected by Al-Imam Muslim from the hadith of Ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said هَلَكَ الْمُتَنَطِعُونَ 3 times. And he هَلَكَ الْمُتَنَطِعُونَ هَلَكَ الْمُتَنَطِعُونَ هَلَكَ الْمُتَنَطِعُونَ. And those who go to extremes are doomed. And may they be doomed, may they be destroyed. And he could be understood as a supplication against them or information about them. And this is the case, when a tanattu' is to go into intricate affairs that are not required in their religion, to go to deep details, and to go to extremes, and to intricate into minute details, and to ask questions or think about it, their affairs in their religion that do not concern a person, or that are not beneficial, or that are not needed, and the likes like this. So this extremism is a means of destruction and failure, meaning it will take a person away from the straight path. The people of knowledge, they mention المتنطعون هم المتعمقون الغالون المجاوزون الحدود في الأقوال في أقوالهم وأفعالهم هم المتعمقون الغالون المجاوزون الحدود في أقوالهم وأفعالهم. There are those who go too deep and beyond the limits. They go deep into affairs, and they transgress the limits, and they go beyond the legislation in their statements and in their actions, and their statements and in their actions. And there are many aspects how this could occur, from pondering over the book, from pondering and thinking about the verses and issues, and going into minute details, and asking questions about affairs that are not important or have not been mentioned from the affairs of the unseen, like what type of tree did Adam eat from, alayhi salam, or what type of wood was the ship of Nuh made from, so on and so forth. Affairs that if a person, he even knew the answer to them, it would not benefit him. Or other issues and minute details about tahara and the likes like this. Some people, they go to extremes. And I've heard myself, and this is from the traps of the devil and from the tricks of the shaitan to whisper to the people and their actions of worship until their worship becomes hard. One of them will say, what if a person made prayer, and then he looked down and he had a hole in his garment exposing his awrah the size of a breadcrumb. The size of a breadcrumb. And he had, the likes of this has been asked. This is great extremism. Like, he's looking at his, you have to look into your pants, your thobe, until you find a hole the size of a breadcrumb that maybe your awrah was exposed through. This is not required from us. It's not from the deen. It's not something you have to look for. You don't have to look for a breadcrumb hole in your garments, or if there's a hole in your shoe, or the water didn't get any. So many what ifs. The what ifs, they do not end. They do not end. What if this happened? What if that happened? What if so and so happened? Some of them, they say, what if World War III happens? Yeah, barakallah feek. Barakallah feek. If it happens and you die upon La ilaha illallah, alhamdulillah, that's what matters. You die upon the sunnah. So you got to get upon the sunnah. Never mind, though, these things you cannot stop. You have no control. If this happens, if this country falls, if these people do that, you know, this is never going to end. Just learn your religion. Benefit from your time while you're alive, before you die. This is what you do. Benefit from your time. Do what's beneficial for you and your family, you and your community. That will benefit you with your Lord. And whenever you die, you have good deeds in your scale. Like this, you prepare for the meeting of Allah. This life is a test. So we don't busy ourselves with all these intricate matters and these minute details and these things that are not really legislated. This is from tanattu'. This is very blameworthy. Halaka. Halaka yani al-halak is destruction, failure, and loss. Destruction, failure, and loss. And likewise, punishment. Yani hardship and difficulty for the people of tanattu'. So to avoid that and stay away from it. This is the intent. The author, he says, وَلِي أَحْمَدَ عَنْ عَبْدِ الرَّحْمَنِ بِنِ شِبْلٍ مَرْفُوعًا رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ اِقْرَأُ الْقُرْآنَ وَلَا تَغْلُوا فِيهِ وَلَا تَجْفُوا عَنْهُ وَلَا تَأْكُلُوا بِهِ وَلَا تَسْتَكْثِرُوا بِهِ. And it's been reported from Ahmed from the hadith of Abd al-Rahman ibn Shibl radiallahu anhu that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, read the Quran and do not go to extremes with it or be negligent. Do not go to the extremes with it or be negligent, and do not use it as a means to seek livelihood or more worldly possessions by way of it. And so these issues, all of them has proceeded. But this is from the command of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the issue of al-ghari fi al-Qur'an wal-jafi fihi aylan has proceeded. Yani the one who goes to extremes with the Qur'an and the one who is negligent. And at the head of those who go, have went to extremes with the Qur'an is the Khawarij. And then likewise the people that we're discussing now, and there's many different manners how that could occur. And also those who are negligent with the Qur'an as well by not implementing and applying it. We have also seen in previous classes examples of that. Someone who memorizes the verses of the obligation of prayer and then he sleeps on the obligatory prayer. And we see the dangers of that likewise. So this is negligent. That is jafa. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he ordered to be upright and moderate with the Qur'an. And this is to follow his guidance with regards to that sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And not to eat and to use it as a means to seek livelihood or any worldly gain. And likewise these issues have proceeded as well, alhamdulillah. The author, he says, عن أبي رافع أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لا ألفين أحدكم متكيا على أريكته يأتيه الأمر من أمري مما أمرت به أو نهيت عنه فيقول لا ندري ما وجدنا في كتاب الله اتبعناه رواه أبو داود والترمذي. The author, he mentioned the narration of Abu Rafi' radiallahu anhu that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, do not let me find one of you reclining on his couch. And when he hears of a command I have enjoined or a prohibition I have issued, saying, we don't know. Whatever we find in the Book of Allah, we follow. And again, this is another type of extremism with the Book of Allah. And this continues until today. Some of them, they call themselves Quraniyun. Quraniyun, the people of the Qur'an, and they say that we only follow the Qur'an or we suffice with the Qur'an. And if you bring them the sunnah and the likes like this, they reject it and refuse it. They say, we do not find it in the Qur'an. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's warning from this. Do not let me find one of you reclining on his couch. This is indication that people have not, as they mentioned, the likes of those who say this are people who are lazy and people who are not engaged in learning. And this is what led them to say the likes of this, because they're relaxing and luxurying on his couch and the likes like this and enjoying himself. And he's not from those who will go through the hardship and challenges that is required in order to actually learn the religion. So these people here, many times they'll say the likes of this. People who are traveling with luxury and following their desires and relaxing and having a good time. So on and so forth, they have preferred this. They may go to extremes with the Qur'an in this manner by saying, whatever we find in the Qur'an, we follow it. Meaning that if we don't find it in the Qur'an, we're not going to follow it. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he warned from that. We have already seen that the obligation to follow the entire sunnah from every aspect is included in one verse in the Qur'an. And had he truly followed the Qur'an, then he would be following this verse specifically. What verse was it? وَمَا أَتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا. هَذَا وَصَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ وَسَلَّمَ.